This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Hurricane Patricia is the largest hurricane ever recorded in the Western Hemisphere. It's in the process of hitting the western coast of Mexico. It was a tropical storm early on Thursday, but quickly became a Category 5 hurricane with 200-mile-per-hour sustained winds. Some areas in Mexico are expecting up to 20 inches of rain. We understand wind gusts of 245 miles an hour. Joining us for the latest on the storm is Jeff Masters, Director of Meteorology at Weather Underground. Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
Sure, Rob.
Well, tell us about this hurricane. I understand it's in some ways off the charts. If we had higher categories, this might be a Category 7, much less Category 6 or 5.
Yeah, Category 5 winds start at about 160 miles per hour, and this storm peaked out at 200 miles per hour. So that's 40 miles per hour above the threshold for Category 5 status. And it's right at the bottom of the scale if for an EF5 tornado, which is the strongest kind of tornado. If you remember the damage from the Joplin tornado back a few years ago, basically those 200-mile-per-hour winds mowed down a half-mile-wide area across Missouri. This storm's got a 15-mile-wide area of those kind of winds.
As I understand it, with Thursday, when yesterday started, this thing was a tropical storm, and it progressed what sounds like very quickly to me. Is that unusual for something to switch from tropical storm to a high-category hurricane that quickly?
Highly unusual. We've only seen two other storms in the Western Hemisphere that intensified that quickly. One was Hurricane Wilma back in 2005, which was the strongest hurricane ever observed in the Atlantic. So this storm has been a record breaker.
And why? Why do we think it made such a quick progression?
We don't understand all the reasons why. I mean, the conditions that were in place for this storm to intensify were, quote, perfect. We had very warm ocean waters, about 87 Fahrenheit. We had very light winds aloft, which helped the storm maintain its integrity and its vertical alignment. And we had a lot of moisture in the atmosphere, more than 80% relative humidity. And now all those factors are very helpful for a hurricane to get going. But we've seen those kind of factors in place before for other storms, and yet they haven't done this. So there's some unknown things going on here that we don't understand, leading to this sort of remarkable intensification.
We've heard a lot about El Nino this year being a big factor in weather along that coast and probably affecting us here in Wisconsin for that matter. Has El Nino played a role in making Hurricane Patricia as intense as it is?
Absolutely. El Nino brings a lot of warm waters to the eastern Pacific where this hurricane is. And you increase the odds of a powerful hurricane when you have warmer than average waters. Now, we can also potentially blame global warming for those warmer waters. They would not have been that warm without the global increase in ocean temperatures that we've seen. They're at near record levels this year.
As I understand it, with climate change, it's hard to say we're going to take this one event and say it was caused by climate change, but the climate change, those higher temperatures you mentioned, does it make this kind of more intense hurricane more likely?
You load the dice in favor of more extreme storms when you heat up the oceans. And our computer models have consistently shown that over the coming decades, we do expect the strongest hurricanes to get stronger. And it's just a matter of time before we see a significant signal in the noise. I mean, there's a lot of natural noise, and there aren't enough of these strong storms, you know, to tell if they're increasing in number. But I think in a few decades, it'll become obvious.
Talking to meteorologist Jeff Masters with Weather Underground about Hurricane Patricia closing in on Mexico's coastline right now. One small saving grace, as I understand it, this is a very intense hurricane, but the area of the highest intensity is not as big as some hurricanes. Am I describing that correctly, Jeff?
Yeah, you are. It's a moderate-sized hurricane. And it's hitting a portion of the Mexican coast that isn't super heavily populated. I think it's going to miss Puerto Vallarta, the resort town that's a little bit to its north. And it's also missing Guadalajara, which is inland a bit. But still, it's going to be a billion-dollar-plus disaster for Mexico.
Talk about the kind of damage this kind of intense hurricane could do. I know that's part of how the different categories of hurricane are described. What kind of damage could we see in the worst-hit areas?
There's three components to the damage. Probably the worst damage potential from this storm is going to be wind damage because they are such extreme winds. I mean, they're down to 190 miles per hour right now, but that's still, you know, EF4 tornado scale winds. They're going to shred whatever structures are in its path unless they're reinforced steel concrete. Now, the storm surge is another big concern. Whenever you get winds this strong, they push a huge mound of water up onto the shore. And we're expecting a storm surge somewhere around 15 feet affecting the coast here of Mexico. So that's going to wash away a lot of the structures near the shore. And the third damage factor, which is usually the biggie for Mexican storms, is rainfall. There's a lot of mountains right by the coast. They're going to intercept the winds of the storm and wring out a lot of water. So we're thinking a lot of 10 to 15-inch rain amounts is going to cause flash flooding, mudslides, and so on. Now, one thing to keep in mind is Mexican civil defense is among the best in the world. They're very, very good at reducing death tolls from these sorts of hurricanes. And if this storm were to hit, say, the U.S., the death toll would have been much higher.
We're less prepared, you're saying, than Mexico would be.
Absolutely. The Mexican authorities don't mess around. I mean, they move in, they let the residents know, and the residents react. When they're told to evacuate, they get out. The U.S., we're kind of like, we don't really want to go.
I wonder about warning time, though, because this thing progressed so quickly from tropical storm to Category 5, so only really a day or so to turn this around. Is that unusual to have that little warning time on a major hurricane like this?
Yeah, that's highly unusual. When the storm formed, the forecasts were for it to get to Category 2 strength, so they already had a pretty good idea that a significant hurricane was coming. But the fact it went from tropical storm to Category 5 in just 24 hours, that's really hard for emergency managers to deal with, because it means you've got to do a lot more mobilization than you expected to prepare for it.
And when they first figured out it was Category 5, how much wiggle room was there for the hurricane to turn and make it unclear at that point how wide an area should be evacuated?
This was a more predictable storm in its track than a lot of storms, particularly what we're used to in the Atlantic. Things kind of go haywire there a lot of times. So I don't think the situation was out of the ordinary that much as far as figuring out where it was going to go.
I understand sometimes in the past when hurricanes have hit, they also spawn tornadoes. Is that a concern as this one makes landfall?
Sure, they can always spawn tornadoes. This one's hitting far enough to the south that I don't think you're going to get the sort of situation where you generate tornadoes. Usually you need a little bit of jet stream action, which you don't get unless you're a lot farther north. Typically, it's the hurricanes that hit along the Gulf of Mexico shore or along the east coast of the U.S., which are much farther to the north, where you get that extra sort of interfering factor with the atmosphere that can help spin up tornadoes.
So what happens to the storm after the worst of the landfall is done? What will it do as it travels inland, as you see, into mountainous territory?
It's going to get shredded by the high mountains of Mexico, and it's going to be reduced to a remnant low that isn't going to have tropical characteristics anymore. But that remnant low is going to have a lot of moisture packed into it, and it's going to move into South Texas on Sunday and give them probably 2 to 4 inches of rain on top of the 2 to 4 they've already gotten today, and they're supposed to get a couple more tomorrow. So we're talking about a long-lasting, intense rainfall event for Texas. It's going to cause a lot of flooding, a lot of damage. Already is causing some damage. There's some high water rescues going on, flash flood emergencies being declared in Texas.
A scientific phrase I hadn't encountered until today, a theoretical maximum of intensity of a hurricane, of wind speeds, I guess because of the physics, the rotation of the earth, something like that, and that this might be close to as intense as a hurricane can be. Is that true?
It is true. The maximum potential intensity that a storm can reach is a function of the ocean temperature beneath it and then the instability of the atmosphere that the storm's embedded in. So if you've got a lot of warm, moist air near the surface, which is low density, and a lot of cold, dry air aloft, which is high density, that's an unstable situation, which makes strong updrafts in the thunderstorms, which can really drive the storm to be very intense. And if you looked at the maximum potential intensity charts for this storm, it said, it could reach 880 millibars, and this thing reached 879 millibars. So it achieved its maximum potential intensity, something that's very rare.
Thinking about the impact now on people there, you mentioned civil defense in Mexico swinging into action. Is this a thing where the international community, NGOs, relief organizations, are getting ready, should be getting ready to provide a lot of help and quickly?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Anytime a hurricane of this magnitude hits, all the NGOs are prepared to respond.
And very briefly, are you going to be studying this in the months to come to see what we can learn about future hurricanes?
Always. I mean, we have a research plane in there right now, which is great, a NOAA Hurricane Hunter aircraft. Actually, I used to fly with the NOAA Hurricane Hunters, and that same plane is there now taking radar data, taking detailed measurements every few seconds. It's going to provide a great data set to study to see, you know, what exactly made this storm tick.
Jeff, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date today.
Okay, Rob, you're welcome.
That's Jeff Masters giving us the latest on Hurricane Patricia. It's set to hit Mexico today as the largest hurricane ever recorded. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.